Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and today we are airing a pre-recorded call with Steve Tenney, Senior Vice President of Wealth Management with Family Wealth Management Partners at UBS Financial Services, Inc. As a note, the reference to the term planning refers to financial planning. The reference to the term investment consulting refers to investment management. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, good. Hey, you know, multi-generational businesses is our topic today. Tell me a little about why you decided to look at this topic overall and why you think it's fascinating.
Well, why don't I take a step back and why I got into the business in the first place? We'll just take a minute. And I was working down in Boston for a bank and applied for a job within the bank. And it was a step up, it was a promotion. And I went to the interview and repeated what I heard that they wanted, told them how I was going to do it for them. And I felt incredibly energized coming out of that because I thought I had solved their problem. That weekend, I was on a walk with my father, and we left my wife and my mom well behind. And he is was in the wealth management business as well. And I explained to him, I said, I had this interview. I told them, repeated what they wanted, told them how I was going to do it for them. I solved their problem. It was great. I just, very energizing. And he said very simply, that's what I do every day. And so that really got me thinking and got me very interested in joining the business. And ultimately, I'm happy to say I joined him. Fast forward to today, many of our clients own small businesses. And they are very involved. There are all sorts of issues involved, not only human relations, but planning for the next generation and many other areas. And it is like problem solving. So I absolutely love to try and help people create a situation where they end up where they want to be in the future.
So when you've taken a look at this area of expertise, this multi-generational focus, and you said, okay, I can help people in that area. Why multi-generational?
We really started with learning more about family-owned businesses in general and the transitions that they go through. A great deal of attention has been paid to the sale of a business because that's the most likely outcome. In the work that we were doing, we started coming across more and more businesses that have lasted at least three generations. And they stood out. They were unique. And so I wanted to learn more about that. So we engaged in a process where we met with 17 individuals, 12 different businesses around the state of Maine, all of which have lasted at least three generations. And frankly, they're doing quite well. So it was really a subset of what we started working with that got my attention because they were so unique.
So multi-generational businesses, you're saying at least lasting three generations. Was this an area that UBS is focused on, an area that you're focusing on? Is this part of your practice area?
UBS does a great deal of work providing us resources around planning in general. So it fits very well with our natural focus or our current focus, which is working with these multi-generational businesses. And we've devoted a lot of resources to the area. One great thing about the firm, frankly, if I could give a short advertisement, is that we're able to run our businesses, our teams, the way we want. And we've chosen to make this a focus of ours.
When you were looking at this, was there one thing that stuck out? One thing, and we're certainly going to talk about the findings, no question, but was there one thing that each time you talked to somebody of those 17, there was one thing that stuck out as the main reason they were successful over three generations?
Even though they didn't say it, yes. And that was really communication. It's communicating among all the parties.
The family members, specifically.
Especially the family members. You could also say communicating with employees, with all the stakeholders in general. Sometimes there can be a difference between management and shareholders and family members. But communicating between all of them is absolutely critical, most especially between the siblings or cousins that are running the business, and also between the older and younger generation as they prepare for the next transition.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that communication is always key in any organization. I think we're going to find that as we talk about it. It doesn't really matter if you're a multi-generational business or just a business in general, communication is key. But I think the family dynamic does have an interesting part to this, right? Because there are generational differences between the grandfather, the father, or the son, for example, if they're going through three generations, and their way of thinking about it, right? Their way of presenting it, their way of, hey, we got to keep doing this because it's always worked, or new ways of thinking and new ways of doing it. So talk to me a little bit about the finding on that type of communication.
Probably the most common source of tension is generational. Very often the older generation has said, it's always worked. You know, so why do we need to change it now? The younger generation may be a little more proactive, might be exposed to some newer ideas, perhaps that they got either in school or working for another company before they came to work for the family business. So that tension is very natural. And frankly, I've been through it twice myself in our own business, once with my father, and that was a great learning experience for me. And then with the second time around, we had another partner that retired a couple years ago. And I think my experience with my dad certainly helped mitigate some of those tensions the second time around. But what's interesting is that it's not always the second generation or younger generation that is pushing the envelope. There were a number of businesses that I met with where it was the older generation that kept pushing, kept trying new things. And it was, interestingly, the younger generation would have to rein them in a little bit. But to a certain extent, I think it's in someone's blood. They want to just, they want to grow the business. They like to meet with people. They like to do deals. They like to try new things. And just because they're in their 60s, 70s, or 80s, it doesn't mean they're going to rein that in. That's who they are.
That's what's made them successful, right?
Exactly.
It's their tenacity, their ability to have a risk tolerance that even as they got older, they decided it's okay. We can put a little bit out on the line here. We can still push the envelope.
Right.
We can still make the changes, and we know that the world doesn't stop. So we have to keep looking forward and make that happen. I mean, these are really basic, fundamental things that any organization can learn from, not just generational ones or just multi-generational ones. It's any organization. It's making sure they communicate properly, make sure that they look at things and can keep pushing the envelope and take that risk that is necessary. You know, we're going to talk about in the next segment a little bit about how you help with that risk and a little bit more of the foundational factors on this. So you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
So you're sporting a brand new pre-owned GM vehicle. You notice the OnStar button and wonder, what if I push it? Do it. You'll get 3 months on us, a free trial of OnStar services, including automatic help in a crash and monthly diagnostic checks. The offer's good on 06 or newer OnStar inactive GM models. Just push the blue button and ask for 3 months free. It's also obligation free. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, offer details, and system limitations.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan. Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan. Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan? I like bronze, like my tan. Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com. And today we are speaking with Steve Tenney. He is the Senior Vice President of Wealth Management with Family Wealth Management Partners at UBS Financial Services, Inc. Stephen, you know, we've been talking a little bit about multi-generational businesses here, and you have done some serious research going in and looking at 17 specific three-generational businesses. And you have some interesting findings, which you break down into basically three areas: family councils, family matters, and stewardship. Let's break that down a little bit. Let's start with the family councils. What is it that you found in that group that really made it an awakening for you in terms of this?
Well, what's interesting is that a lot of these go back to our earlier discussion around communication. And a family council is really a format for promoting good communication within the family. The bigger a family gets, especially when you're into the third, fourth generation or beyond, the more important that communication can be, the more challenging managing the company can be. They call it the cousin consortium. The broader family tree, you get more diverse ideas and more chance for conflict. A family council is typically a meeting off-site, perhaps at a resort, where you get as much of the family there as possible, the entire family tree that's existing, from the most senior folks right down to the kids. And you create an environment and an agenda that is so appealing, they'd be crazy not to go. And then you have both a business agenda and also a social agenda. You keep the kids busy. You have them engaged in activities. And then on the business side, you really create an environment where while you're walking through an agenda, it's an opportunity for everyone to contribute their thoughts. Very often, the family will end up funneling their thoughts and recommendations to one or two board members that then so that that board member will then represent the family's ideas on whatever the issue is at hand. What's interesting is that some of these families have been around for so long, been running the business for so long, say 5 or 6 generations. Believe it or not, there's some people that don't know each other.
It does seem odd, doesn't it?
It does. I know of one family where one person leans over to another and says, "Who's that over there?" And says, well, that's your cousin." And they live all over the country, and they're just not familiar with each other. So they're all shareholders in the business. So it's really important to get everyone on the same page.
Well, it can create an interesting amount of tension, right? When you have, right. I always like to say, when you have a group of people who know one another, you're less likely to create conflict with people you know than people you don't know, right? Because you start valuing them, you trust them, you become more, a relationship creates, and it's just the way it works within human nature. And if you don't know somebody, you don't know their motivation behind it, right? You just start thinking about why are they here? What's the motivation behind this? And so this council creates an area where family members can come and learn about what's happening, right?
Right. And it's also not only learning about what's happening, but learning about the fundamentals of the business. For example, if you have a business in Maine that is unique to the environment that's here, whether it's retail or if it's the forest land, whatever it might be, yet there's a family member living in Silicon Valley, it may be difficult for them to relate to the business back home. It might be hard for them to understand why they should be a shareholder in this business. So bringing them home, getting them indoctrinated, and soliciting their input can be very important to the success of the family business.
You know, what's interesting about this is it relates to any business, really, that somebody can communicate and really bring a group of people together, whether it's their shareholders, their investors, their senior leadership. This is a concept that works well across the board, right? It's not just multi-generational families, but it really works across the board of communicating and getting people engaged, involved, and driving the process forward and keeping everybody informed.
Absolutely. It's not just multi-generational businesses. I just think that they've succeeded. They've won.
Right, right.
And so why not learn from the best?
No question. I think that's important. So, I mean, this council is a great idea, and certainly one of the things that I think has made them successful is that they have these councils. They have this, and they share information, and they probably have ideas and thoughts that they bring forward. The second one is family matters. Well, definitely in this case, the family does matter. There's no question about that. But what are you referring to specifically?
What I'm referring to is that I guess there are a few points there. One is I found in my discussions a very unique dynamic in that many of the businesses, you had two siblings that got together incredibly well. The level of trust was unparalleled compared to anything I've ever seen. And they very clearly attribute their success in the business's success to their ability to get along and communicate, divide responsibilities according to their own talents and their own likes. It's also important when with family matters, we talked about dealing with the next generation. It's important for the older generation to relinquish control at some point. The younger generation is going to come along. They're going to be running the business. They need to know that no one's looking over their shoulder. There was one business we worked with we talked with where they let's say generation number one had trouble letting go, and ultimately he was told that he had to. So the second generation took over. When it was time for the third generation to take over many years later, it was an interesting process they went through they had one of their businesses was overseas, and the generation number two told number three, figure it out. It's not working well. Go figure out what's going on. And generation number three came back after studying the business and said, I think we should sell it. It's just not working. It's not core to our business. Generation number two responded and said, I don't agree with you, but we're going to go to the board and I'll support you. They went to the board. He supported his son and they did sell the business. And it was a great liberating moment for the third generation to be able to say, yeah, I'm going to be running this business and I won't be second guessed.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really is about trust development, right? And this bond that's created between, in this case, two siblings, but it could be for any family member or any group that is coming together. I mean, one of the successful parts of being any business owner is knowing what your limits are, right? I mean, knowing what you can and can't do. And the research that you've done in terms of seeing that they have a trusting relationship between two or three parties is key, I think, to any of this, correct?
Absolutely.
You know, in terms of it. What else did you find out in terms of the Family Matters section?
I guess in staying with the working with the next generation, although I only saw this with one company, it really stood out, and that is having a mentor, a non-family mentor for that next generation. The next generation is working at the business. They're doing a good job. And ultimately, the plan is that they will ascend to the point of running the business. But they need to report to someone that's not mom or dad.
Right.
They need to separate the boardroom from the Thanksgiving table. And they need to get honest feedback. And when they do, typically, it's in this with this one company we talked with, it's worked out beautifully. Separating those roles.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to the son of one a family business that I know, and he says, you know, the group he talks to is the sons and daughters of the owner, and they call themselves the SOBs because they're the son of bosses, and it's because that they have this interesting dynamic, right? That you have this: I am working for the company, and I am learning and growing, and I can know how to put the thumb in my eye of my parents. At the same time, they're my boss. So it's an interesting dynamic that is really there, and how to keep the personal and the professional level separate, or at least as separate as it can be. That's a challenge.
It is, and I lived through it. You know, I worked in the same business as my father for 4 years, and then I worked with him. And there were certainly times when I was being kicked under the dining room table by my wife saying, that's enough. You know, let's move on. You talk about business all day at work. We don't need to do it now.
Right, right.
I think the last point I'll make on Family Matters is the need to plan over 10 to 15 years. For that next, for the succession of the next generation, and most families are doing that. They are planning over 10 to 15 years, and there's so many issues to deal with. You've got to get the right people in the right positions. You've got to figure out ownership issues, management issues. And that can all take a great deal of time if you want to have a successful outcome.
You know, the succession planning right now today is certainly a hot button issue. There's no question that with the generational shift, with baby boomers retiring at 10,000 a day, basically, you're seeing this as a huge hot button issue across the planet. And the reality is that family businesses, every business is really need to be looking at succession planning now more than ever, with the switch of the economy to back to a little bit more of an employee base. Things starting to pick up across. You are seeing people talk about this a lot.
Absolutely. And that's where we come in quite a bit with our wealth management tools and planning tools. We need to figure out where a family is now, where they want to be, what gaps might exist. And then we help them address those gaps.
The third part you say is steward, or stewardship, if we want to call
right.
it. Stewardship.
Right. It was really interesting, and I admired it a great deal in meeting with these folks. They felt a very strong responsibility to the stakeholders, and that they looked at themselves not as the boss, but as stewards. They were taking care of this entity, this family business, until it was time to pass it to the next generation. They felt that if decisions were made that were in the best interest of the business, then the family would be taken care of. Put the business first, the family comes second, they'll be taken care of. And I think that attitude goes a long, long way towards prudent decision-making for the long term and increases the chances of a successful transition to that next generation.
Well, you know, stewardship is certainly about making sure that your people are taken care of, right? And the reality is that good leaders know that it's the people that make their success. That's the bottom line, is the people make their success. And if they don't take care of the people, then they'll move on. And you've spent all that time, development, and training, and you want to reward people for good behavior. That's the whole idea. So, I mean, this is a key point, a key element in terms of what we're talking about today in terms of leadership and development. Did you see leaders say specifically, look, it's my job, it's my duty to make that happen?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was for them, it was all about doing what's right for the stakeholders. They had a very strong commitment to the community, to the employees, and to the family.
We're talking with Steve Tenney. He is the Senior Vice President of Wealth Management with Family Wealth Management Partners at UBS Financial Services, Inc. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
TrueCar.com. It's the new way to buy a car. With TrueCar.com, there are three easy steps that could save you over $3,000 off MSRP. First, go to TrueCar.com and see what others paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third, print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a hassle-free buying experience. Save time and money. Never overpay for a car again. Visit TrueCar.com today.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan. Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan. Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan? I like bronze, like my tan. Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
So you're sporting a brand new pre-owned GM vehicle. You notice the OnStar button and wonder, what if I push it? Do it. You'll get 3 months on us, a free trial of OnStar services, including automatic help in a crash and monthly diagnostic checks. The offer's good on 06 or newer OnStar inactive GM models. Just push the blue button and ask for 3 months free. It's also obligation free. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, offer details, and system limitations.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, presented by CMAcareer.com. And we are talking with Steve Tenney. He is the Senior Vice President of Wealth Management with Family Wealth Management Partners at UBS Financial Services, Inc. UBS, what does UBS stand for?
UBS is a bank that was created in Switzerland. Union Bank of Switzerland and Swiss Bank merged many years ago.
Great. Okay, I just think it's important people know. They go, UBS, what exactly is that? You know, there's plenty of acronyms in this world.
Oh, absolutely. But UBS is actually the focus of the firm globally is wealth management. We do have a small group that does investment banking and also asset management. But the wealth management part of our business is well over half of what we do, and most of our resources are really focused around that. The other parts of the business do provide good support for what we do.
And so your team, Family Wealth Management Partners, is part of the wealth management business at UBS, which, of course, makes perfect sense since we're talking about multi-generational family businesses. Tell me a little bit about where your group focuses and how they can help organizations and companies in this particular area.
We focus on wealth management, and that's a term that's overused and sometimes misunderstood. And we define it as having three components. One is investment consulting, which is helping people manage their assets. Most people in our world provide investment consulting services. So while we need to be good, and we think we are, it's not necessarily unique. What is more unique is the advanced planning part of what we do. And that has four components. Wealth protection, making sure assets are not unjustly taken. Wealth enhancement looks at cash flow and after-tax returns. Wealth transfer is having assets passed to the next generation as effectively as possible. And finally, charitable giving, which is important to many of our clients. The third part of our definition of wealth management is relationship management, which is the system that we have for staying in touch with and working with clients.
When people think about wealth management, or they think about, you know, family management in terms of that, there is this connotation of it's all about the money, right? It's all about how we handle the assets and how we do that. I know in our previous conversation you said that is part of it, but it's really more about developing a relationship to get them to understand what their goals are, correct?
Absolutely. That's where we add the most value. Again, we need to be good. We need to be very good at the investment consulting part. But the value we can provide there pales in comparison to the value we can provide around the various planning issues, making sure that and working with other valued advisors, other trusted advisors, making sure that the family business gets passed down the proper way. Making sure that when someone dies that there are assets there to pay the estate taxes, et cetera. Working with people who might have children with special needs. Working with various philanthropic organizations or benefiting different organizations. There are a whole slew of different issues that we can work with.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm sure HR people that are listening out there are thinking to themselves, okay, I understand where we're going with this. It's certainly an important segment in terms of understanding what multi-generational companies do to kind of think about how we look at our businesses and what we can do. Does UBS work with organizations themselves, or do they only work with people specifically?
Well, with family-owned businesses, it's one and the same. You know, the individual or the family, they're going to own all the shares in the business. So it's really the same. One of the biggest issues that we come across with these families, and therefore the businesses, is the fact that the company represents the vast majority of their wealth. It is not liquid. It is illiquid. They walk through the door, they can see it, smell it, feel it, control it every single day. But when it comes to planning for the next generation and someone's ultimate demise, you need to make sure that there are assets there that will be able to pay for the estate taxes. And you don't want the asset to be shares in the business. The reason is because that means the shares have to be sold. And some the other shareholders in the business may not have enough cash on hand to buy those shares. Therefore, the company might have to be sold to someone on the outside, and it's no longer a family-held business. And they might even risk having the business move out of state. And you're certainly not doing the right thing for all the stakeholders, like the employees and the community in that kind of situation.
You know, it's interesting, and I'm sure that when we're talking about the communication part of this, you and your organization really think about how each key player in the organization thinks, right? You're going to interview them all. You're going to have this discussion. You're going to talk to any business leaders and find out what they really want in that. Do you also talk to the recipients of that organization? In other words, you have the key players, but you also have the next generation and what they really want out of it. Is there a conversation between both groups?
Absolutely. And we talked about family councils, and we also have something we call a family forum, where we get those different generations there at the table and talking. One quick funny story is we had a family together where older generation, the dad, said, you know, all I want is grandchildren. That's what's most important to me, is having some grandchildren. And at the time, only one of the three kids was married. And his response was, well, Dad, I'd love to have kids, but I can't afford to have kids. So we instituted a gifting program, taking advantage of the annual gift exclusion. At the time, I think that was gifting $10,000 a year. And so the dad started gifting $10,000 to each of the kids. That was enough to allow the son to feel, okay, I can afford to have kids now. He's got two daughters. So we had a direct impact on bringing two little girls into this world.
Well, you know, I can't think of a better example to make that happen. Now, that's paying for your grandkids right there. I like that. That's good. That's a great story. I like that. And I'm sure UBS is proud of that.
Because, absolutely.
Absolutely. That's absolutely great. What do you think are some of the challenges that multi-generational businesses or any business face in terms of understanding the complexity of this? Because they do, you know, it is a big deal, right? And they do think sometimes it's overwhelming. It's, oh my God, I don't know. I just do my business every day. I don't want to think about the future. Come on, Steve, please, just do it.
You just nailed it. They're busy with their own business. They're doing their own thing. And it absolutely can be overwhelming. They're experts in making widgets. They're not experts in long-term wealth management and succession planning. And I think time, dedication, and sitting down and thinking about and noodling on what we want is really the hardest part about it. People just seem to, frankly, be stuck. Inertia is a very strong force. What we really recommend is many of these businesses have other advisors. They've got a trusted accountant. They've got an attorney. They've got a wealth manager. Very often, those three aren't talking to each other, and they really need to be. It's got to be a team effort. Sometimes the business owner intentionally keeps them in separate silos Frankly, I think that's the wrong approach. I think that you've got to have all three at the table together. The reason they end up in silos, it can be a perceived cost issue. The business owner might say, you know, look, if I've got everyone at the table and I'm paying by the hour, this is going to be really expensive. I would suggest that the savings you get long term from good decision making far outweighs any hourly fees that might come as a result of those meetings. Sometimes these business owners also really want to retain control, and they don't want to give it up to a team of advisors. They've been very successful in what they've done with their business. They've controlled every aspect of it, and they don't want to admit that they need to give up control in this one area.
You know, it's interesting. That's leadership 101, right? Knowing what you're good at and knowing what you can pass off to others to do, because you can't do everything. You can't. But it is, there are control factors in this that everybody faces. Nobody can do it as fast as me. I know I need to train somebody, but that takes time. And even though it's going to take time, I can just do it faster and get it done. Well, you know, my planning, I can plan it out. But if I plan it out, then I'm not executing. If I can just execute and just forget about the planning, it'll be fine. Right? I mean, this is standard stuff that leaders go through every day, but can make a big difference if they don't do it right.
Right. And, you know, that gets me back to another point that I saw with some of the more successful businesses. They relied on outside directors for their board. They brought people in that were experts either in running businesses or perhaps in that industry. And they get advice from them. And what should we be doing? How should we be running the business? Personnel decisions, markets we should go after. Sometimes there are relationships that can be levered for the betterment of that business. And in my mind, that's very consistent with relying on a team of advisors, attorney, accountant, wealth manager.
But they're not necessarily the same group, right?
Oh, no. Totally separate. Totally separate people. But it's the mentality I'm talking about, where you need to have some people that sit on your board of directors that are not family members, that can give you good advice. And then separately in your personal life, people that are advising you on the broad wealth management issues that you have.
No, that's excellent advice. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
Fraudulent charges aren't always so easy to find. They can start out as just a few dollars. That's why Discover Card monitors every purchase every day to help keep your account protected from suspicious activity. Plus, you're never responsible for any unauthorized purchases on your Discover Card. And if you need to replace your card for any reason, we'll overnight you a new one at your request, free of charge. These are just some of the many ways we treat you like you'd treat you. Learn more at discover.com. Overnight shipping applies to U.S. destinations, excluding P.O. boxes.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan. Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we've been speaking with Steve Tenney. He is the Senior Vice President of Wealth Management with Family Wealth Management Partners at UBS Financial Services, Inc. You know, we've been talking about today multi-generational family businesses, and some would say the amazing findings that you have taken away from in terms of the success that they've had, especially third generational businesses, and why they've been successful. And I think that if we really look at this, this could be stuff that really any business could look at and have takeaways from, right? It could have real good takeaways from it. You've pulled together five takeaways that you really said, hey, these are the five things that I think if anybody listened to this show today, they really could learn from. What are those five today?
Well, I'll preempt this by saying sometimes it's easier said than done. Some of these are very important, but can be challenging to execute day in and day out. First, communication is critical. You've got to have good communication between all the stakeholders. That's the family members, the shareholders, employees, and even to a certain extent, the broader community. Second is when you're talking about succession planning, you got to look out 10 to 15 years. Again, very, very long term, but to do things properly, that's what it takes. This typically is not an overnight decision saying, okay, Johnny, it's your business to run now. Third is that those that are running the business behave every day as if they're stewards for the business, doing what's best for the business. And if they do so, the family will be taken care of. Fourth, when you're working with that next generation to take over, find another mentor. Find a non-family member to be a mentor for the younger generation so that they can report to them, so they can get feedback that is real open and honest without hurting feelings, without infringing upon the Thanksgiving dinner, if you will. And also with that generation, letting go. When it's time for them to take over, let go. Let them make those decisions. The last tip I would give is have a good team around you. And that can apply to not only a management team, but also your board of directors. And where we get involved quite a bit is on the wealth management side, where you've got a tax advisor, you've got a good attorney, and you've got a wealth manager, all working in close coordination, great communication between those parties, all for the betterment of the family success.
You know, those are really great tips because I think that they cover the five key areas that we talked about here today on the HR Power Hour. You know, you've put together a packet which kind of goes over the summaries of these findings as well as some other information. How does somebody get that information other than a fact? I will, of course, have your information on the HRPowerHour.com website, which somebody can go to right after this show, and they can click on that information and get directly to you. But if they wanted to contact you directly, how would they do so?
Probably the best two ways. One is to call me. Phone number is 207-791-5559, or they can email me at steven.tenney, that's steven.tenney at ubs.com.
Now, this has been great. You said you have a great team that you work with. I'll give you a couple seconds to talk about your team a couple minutes here.
Great, thanks. We run our team as a multifamily office, so we're dealing with many different issues that clients might have. I've got two primary partners who are also financial advisors, Joe Powers and Helen Andreoli. I've been partners with Joe for about 14 years, and as a certified financial planner, he deals with most of our financial planning and insurance issues. Helen's been in the business for about 13 years and is also focused on financial planning as well as various solutions involving philanthropy. My primary focus is investment management or managing client portfolios. We also, I think, have three of the best support staff we could ever hope for. Our team administrator is Susan Perella, and we also have two client service associates, Susan Welsh and Andrew Scott. They deal with all the administrative issues that require just a tremendous amount of time and effort, and frankly, they don't get all the credit they deserve.
Well, you know what? There's always the people behind the scenes, right? There's the face, and then there's the real people who do all the work, as I like to say. And that would be my team as well. I get that. So, no, I really appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you for providing us information on multi-generational businesses and really provided an overview of how to be successful and make that happen. So thank you, Steve, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour.
Steve Tenney is a financial advisor with UBS Financial Services, Inc. The reference to the term planning refers to financial planning. The reference to the term investment counseling refers to investment management. Any information presented is general in nature and not intended to provide individually tailored investment advice. Investing involves risks, and there is always the potential of losing money when you invest. The views expressed herein are Steve's and may not necessarily reflect the views of UBS Financial Services, Inc. Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your legal counsel and/or your accountant or tax professional regarding the legal or tax implications of a particular suggestion, strategy, or investment, including any estate planning strategies before you invest or implement.
And now your HR tip of the week. What can employees do to minimize fraud? The possibility of workers' compensation fraud can be frustrating, but fortunately, there are a lot of actions employers can do to reduce the risk. One, have a clear policy regarding workers' compensation. Two, ensure employees understand the need to immediately report any accident. Three, conduct investigations related to every claim. Four, create a program to get injured or ill employees back to work. Stay connected with the employees. Be sure that HR and management supervisors are trained to recognize fraud and then listen to other employees about what they say, because sometimes they'll tell you before things happen. That's your HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, Peter Lowe, employment attorney for the law firm of Braun and Isaacson, will be talking about the annual legal update. It's provided for us every year, and we are looking forward to it. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.